Welcome to another message from discovertheword.com and New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Tehachapi, California. We have a message today that is not popular in the world. A message that is not popular whatsoever. I one time preached a sermon on hell. Matter of fact, I taught my message on hell from Doctrines in the Bible at a very large mega church. And I mean to tell you what, I got in trouble. We don't preach about hell here. It scares people. It frightens them. Well, the word went out. It did do its job. Had one woman surrender to the ministry and as a missionary. And I won't say anything else about that. She ended up dying on the mission field. Murdered. A martyr. We're studying about an invitation to hell. An invitation to hell. In Genesis, the third chapter, and the first verse, I'm going to read from the Hebrew because it's very, very beautiful there. V'nahash haya arum mikal chayith, that is, hasadah asher asa. And then we have the word hadabar, the word for Jehovah Elohim. V'yomer el ha'isha ath. Ki Amer Elohim Lo To Kalu Nikal Etz Hagan. Now I'll go back and translate this. It says, and the serpent, and Vinahash, and the serpent, he had become. Now God didn't create anything evil. Now, we're back in the period of time on this map over here. This God's plan of the ages, back over here in the age of innocence right here. The age of innocence, they were supposed to do not eat. That was it. Guard the garden and do not eat. That was the only job. The failure, they ate. And what happened was curse and death. Curse and death and an invitation to hell for all of their descendants. Now let's look at this. And the serpent, he had become arum, deceitful, wicked, perverse, dishonest, a thief. That word arum means all of those things. And then it says, mikal, far above, chayath, all the beasts, all the other living animals of the field, hasadah, which he had made Jehovah Elohim. And he said unto the... He said, actually, Wyomer. He said and kept on saying unto the woman, third person singular, wow, consecutive and perfect. And he said and kept on saying unto the woman, is it so that God has said, not ye shall eat from the trees of the garden, from the tree of the garden? Now let's see what happens here. You shall not eat from the trees of the garden. Now let's see what the woman says. First of all, we got a problem here, don't we? What is the problem? God told him not to eat, and he told Adam to guard the garden. Where's Adam? Where is the rascal? What's he doing? About playing football with a hippopotamus, or what is he doing? He's supposed to be guarding his wife and guarding the garden. So he's failed. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God, he has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Now we have the old serpent again, Ha-Nahash. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. you shall surely not die. Now this man, this being, this Lucifer, working through the person of the serpent, and the serpent allowed, the serpent willingly allowed Lucifer to go into him and speak through him. Animals were created as companions to mankind. They were not food. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. The tree was a knowledge of good and evil. First of all, they would see when they ate it that how good and wonderful and big and powerful God was, and how that He had given them such privilege. Serpent here is a indwelling of Satan. Now Satan was, according to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he was a caretaker of the material creation of God and the earth. And the Bible has two Edens in it, and here's the second Eden. The first Eden was the throne room of Satan. And now it's the throne room of Adam. So the slippery, slimy creature, Satan, creeps into the body of this serpent that had become crafty and evil and wicked because of his disobedience. Disobedience. He had allowed Satan to come into him and speak through him. And the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pretty, and that it was a wonderfully delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. And here we all have it all right here, the pride, the lust, and gluttony. Now this is God's tree. This is the only tree in the garden that they could not eat from. They'd eat from all the trees, the tree of life, whatever, they could eat from all of that. The only tree that they could not touch or eat is God's tree in the middle of the garden. And she took from its fruit, and she kept on eating, and she kept on eating, and she kept on eating, and she gave also to her husband, and guess what he did? He kept on eating, and kept on eating, and kept on eating. They were gluttons. This is the first case of gluttony in the Bible. They just kept on eating that tree. Verse number 8. An invitation to hell. And they took it. They disobeyed God. Now without redemption, they would be on their way to hell. And hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Now Hades, oh, many of their children, because they took this invitation to hell, they doomed many of their children, because every one of them would be born with the infection of sin in him or her. And they heard the sound of the Jehovah Elohim, Halavar, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in the breeze of the day, is what it says. And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. And by the way, here's the word Jehovah Elohim now. Because Jehovah means the covenant-keeping God. The one who shall become. And we'll see in a few minutes about that. They heard the Lord God walking in the breeze of the day, in the evening actually. And a man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. The Lord God called unto the man and said unto him, "Where are you?" Now God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. Now God knew where he was. He knew where Adam was. But this is a comeuppance. This is a revelation to Adam now. This is the first time that they have come into the presence of the holy God. And now they know how holy he is. Before, they did not know how holy God was and how great God was and how merciful God was. And now they know that they're snake-digging, egg-sucking dogs. They're low-down rats. They could see the greatness of God, and they could see how evil they were, that they had become. And he said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I was naked. So I hid myself. And he said to him, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now they were clothed in the righteousness of God before and the glory of His Shekinah. Now they're naked. Now they have become naked. And the man said, The woman that you gave to me, this is the first case of blame shifting. You know, wives and husbands, you made me do it. 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 You ever heard that before? Has your wife ever said that to you? You've ever said that to your wife? You caused me to be this. You drove me to this. Blame shifting. And she gave to me from the tree, and I kept on gluttoning myself. They probably ate the whole tree up, roots, bark, fruit, and all. Then the Lord God said to the woman, Joel Elohim said to the woman, This is as you have done. And the woman said, Ah, Hanashishi Ani. And the serpent gave to me, it deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this same curse to you among all the cattle. See, he was responsible. The serpent was responsible. He was created perfect, and he became Arum. And now he's cursed above all of the beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall walk, and in dust you shall eat from all the days of your life, and I will put active hatred between you and the woman, and your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. This is talking about the first promise of the Bible of the Messiah. I will put active hatred between you, Satan, and the woman. And between her seed, Jesus Christ, and your seed, your Antichrist. And this started in Genesis, the sixth chapter. This is when this began to happen. Satan will have a son from the seed of a woman. And this seed of Satan will be the Antichrist in the end time. And how many have there been since then? We do not know. He shall bruise you as to the head. And you shall bruise him as the heel. And this is the story of the Messiah. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. And in pain you shall bring forth children. And your desire shall be for your husband. And he shall rule over you. And the woman, and then Adam, he said, Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat from it. You took the invitation to hell for all of your children to come. Cursed is the ground because of you. I've been stepping on stickers and getting stickers in my fingers all this week. Guess what? Because this man's fault. It's his fault. See, I'm blame shifting. It's his fault. But this is it. And in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, in the sweat of your nostrils. Both the thorns and thistles shall grow because of you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your nostrils you shall eat bread till you go to the ground. Because as from it you were taken, and to it you shall become dust. Now the man called his wife Eva, Hava, because she was the mother of all living. She was supposed to be the mother of all dying, the invitation to hell. All of them would die. All of them would be born with the infection to sin. But Eve and Adam now, they have become believers of the promised Messiah to come. And we're going to see what happens here in just a moment. Because she was the mother of all living, and the Lord God made garments of skin for the man, Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And so he showed them how to sacrifice the animals. The innocent animals had to die for them. Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now lest he stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. And therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from it he was taken. He came from the same elements as the ground, not from it directly. Man is a primary creation of God, not a second creation of God. Secondary creation of God was he was made from something else. Man came from God, but he would become dust. And this was a prophecy. So he drove man of the garden to the east of the garden of Eden and stationed the cherubim, the cherubim, and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life and to this wonderful garden that God had planted. And now, we have the first Antichrist born. Now the man kept on having relationship with his wife, Hava, and she conceived. She caught seed and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. It's Jehovah. I don't know why they didn't translate that correctly, because she believed that this was the promised Messiah. But he was a child of hell. He had taken the invitation to hell, and he held on to that invitation. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks. But Cain was a tiller of ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. A cursed offering from the cursed ground, and not enough. He didn't divide correctly. He should have bought an animal with that and sacrificed the innocent animal for his rebellion and his sin. And Abel, on his part, brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his nose glowed, literally. Then the Lord God said to Cain, and Jesus comes to him. The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah means he who shall become. He came to Cain personally and gave him an invitation to heaven. And he said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I'll make my own way. I like the other way better. Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, and if you do not divide correctly, if you don't tithe, if you don't divide correctly, sin is cracking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you can overcome it. By what? Obedience. Take the invitation to heaven. But he wanted to hold on to the invitation to hell. You know, you can go out on the internet and you can buy all kinds of tickets. The football games and the Super Bowl and the World Series and all that kind of stuff. Super rock concerts and everything. And people will give a tremendous amount of money for it. Cain gave his whole future existence holding on to the invitation of hell. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and murdered him and slashed him and kept on slashing and slashing and slashing and slashing. That's what it says in Hebrew. Then the Lord God said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know, am I brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you're cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you, and you shall be a vagrant and a wanderer in the earth. And Cain said, my punishment is too great. So God even gave an opportunity to protect him again. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, from my farm. I've lost my farm. And from your face, and I shall be hidden, I shall be a vagrant and wander in the earth, and anyone that comes about me will find me, will kill me, because I deserve to be killed. He deserved it, didn't he? So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, a vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed an oath, a sign of protection, lest anyone finding him should slay him. Now, Cain goes out and he invents slavery and he begins man killing. He's a man killer. And his children are man killers. Now, that's the story. They took the invitation to hell and held on to it. In Luke, the 19th chapter, we have one of the most graphic pictures of hell. The most graphic pictures of Hades, actually. Hell and Hades are actually different. Hell is the eternal lake of fire, and Hades is what exists in today, and it's not purgatory either. Hades is a place of departed spirits where there is suffering. Luke 16 and verse 19, now the Lord is using all kinds of parables, but this isn't a parable. This is not a parable. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named what? Lazarus. You know what Lazarus means? Marilyn, you remember what Lazarus means? Any of you?
That's what we call him.
No help.
No help.
No help. Lazarus means helpless. And was laid. Eliezer. Lazarus comes from the Hebrew word Eliezer, which means God helps. But here we have Lazarus, we have no help. No help. Certain poor man named Lazarus, hopeless, laid at his gate, covered with sores, oh hopeless. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table, besides even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. By the way, there's a certain antiseptic quality to dogs licking you. They lick themselves, there's antibiotics there. Now it came about the poor man died and he was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, we know that when we're conceived, two angels bear witness to our conception. Two angels bear witness to our birth. Two angels bear witness to our being born again if we are. And two angels, those that bore witness to all this, come and carry you off. And that's what happened to Lazarus. He got carried away by the good angels. By his guardian angels. By his witnessing angels. And on this up here in the tabernacle above the Ark of the Covenant were two angels, two cherubim. And they witnessed the atonement. Jesus, at our being born again, there are two angels that witnessed the application of his atonement to us. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Hades and Sheol, the same thing. Sheol means a place to ask about, and Hades means the place not seen. Being in torment, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. And I am in agony in this flame, and I want to tell you something. Already, Cain had been there for thousands of years when this happened. And it was just becoming, just beginning. But Cain took the invitation to hell and held on to it like it was gold plated or 24 karat gold. And it was his doom and curse forevermore. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received the good things, likewise Lazarus, bad things, but now he is being comforted and you are in agony. And that's not what it was all about either in all reality. The rich man could have been rich and knew the Lord. But he chose the invitation to hell. He did not come to God. He did not come to the Messiah. He did not come to the promised atonement. Genesis 3:15. And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed between us in order that those who wish to come over from there here, you may not be able to, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, and here is a love letter from hell. I beg you, Father, that you send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. When you're in hell, you thirst, you pain, you see, you hear, even though you are nothing but a soul and a spirit. You have faculties. Heat and cold, memory, suffering, thirst, hunger, and you will never eat, and you will never... This is not place, any place for a glutton, is it? There's no place here. This is no place for a wine bibber or an alcoholic that like to tip the bottle daily. No more bottles there. I remember one time I had a bad Uncle Bill. He almost killed me one time, hit me with an axe handle. A double bit axe handle, kind of flat. He hit me across the back and damaged my heart. Knocked the breath out of me. I almost died, except for my neighbor came and resuscitated me. She was a nurse at Kern General Hospital, Martha. Martha Ellison. I loved that woman like my own mother or my grandmother. She was kind to me all her life, all my life. She gave me shots and penicillin when I was a little kid. I didn't want to go see any other doctor but Martha. She came and she resuscitated me, and boy, she gave Bill a tongue lash, and he should have gone to jail. He killed at least two people that I know in his life. But some of you that heard the story of my bad Uncle Bill knew that in the 70s, the late 70s, that I led him to the Lord. And I was mad at God for saving that man's soul because he was so bad. Until I realized later that my great-grandfather had prayed for him daily, his son, that he wanted to be a preacher. He became a murderer and a liar, an alcoholic, and a burglar. But the end of his life was spent going to church and giving a few pennies a month to the Lord. I have five brothers that they may warn them lest they also come to this place of torment. They don't need this invitation to hell. Tell them you have an invitation to heaven. I didn't heed, but maybe they will. If someone goes back from the dead, and Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The Bible. We don't need any more miracles today. We don't need any more raising of the dead today. We got it all in the Word of God. You just believe. It did happen. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. And one did rise from the dead, we know, and that was Jesus, our Savior. John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos arx agenito. And the Word, the Jehovah flesh, He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For no man has seen God at any time, John 1:18 said, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has let Himself out, and He is our Savior. Which invitation do you want, hell or heaven? You got the one from your father from hell. You inherited that by the infection of sin. But Jesus Christ gave you an invitation to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth your sins, that you're a sinner in your heart, believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message from Your Word today. Father, I pray that it goes out and saves sinners. I pray there's one out there that's lost today and know that they've got the invitation of hell in their hands. That they can throw it down and grab